Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us. You know we'll never be able to thank you, Father. But we have a desire to serve you, Father, maybe just to show it. But we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, God, sending your Son Jesus, Father, in our place. Thank you, God. I pray that every day we rejoice in that, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that we bring forth what you want us to bring forth, Father God, in your word. And help us to leave off what you don't want, Father God, and give your children, your loving children, Father, you love them so much, God, listening hearts, ears, and minds to drink in what the Spirit, the great teacher, is saying. Thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's an awesome privilege to be with you this morning. As most of you know, our pastors are a bit under the weather. And thanks to all the teachers in the church that have stepped in and helped out, because it was sorely needed. We still need for us to be in prayer for Pastor Rock. He still has some more treatment he has to do. And Pastor Sharon has been doing pretty good, but she has to take care of Pastor Rock, so that's why they're both not here. Hopefully, they'll be here soon, and we can enjoy their presence. One other update on our sprinkler system. I know we have a special offering coming up next Sunday. As most of you may know, the city has agreed to run the water that's needed up to the front of the church. That's going to take a little bit. Right now it's in the planning stage. The manager there says he has handed everything over to the construction manager, and they're planning, you know, how to do it. And then it takes a little bit after that for the actual labor to take place, and we'll be having to cover the materials, but that's already been taken care of. So hopefully we'll be back there in the not too distant future, where God intended us to be. Bonnie and I are going to share this morning's teaching. It'll be on communion. We'll be having communion. The Lord had told Pastor Rock that we needed to have more communion, and especially for what it stands for. God, Jesus' body and his blood. And we will do that this morning. First off, Bonnie has included this on here, so I'm going to try it.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to look at your neighbor. It is neighbor looking time. I want you to smile at your neighbor real wide. And I want you to point at your neighbor. Just don't poke him in the eye or anything. And say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive God's good word.
To receive God's good word. This day. And I declare,
I'll never
ever be the same again. In Jesus' name. We'll start off in Romans 5:15, reading out of the Amplified Bible. But God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through Jesus Christ abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. Now think about this. Back in eternity, God lost one, his anointed praise angel, a third of his angels, then man and woman, they gave up dominion over the earth. So Satan then had dominion over the earth. But in spite of all that, we know God is not a loser. He's the greatest winner of all time. And do you know why? Because he knows how to turn the losses around. He knows how to use the law of giving and receiving to transform losses into gains. He had every option that exists to choose from to redeem the things he'd lost. He had all wisdom and all power available to him. And out of all that, the law of giving is what he chose to use. He had every option that exists to choose from and to redeem the things he'd lost. He had all wisdom and all power available to him. Out of all that, the law of giving is what he chose to use. He gave his only begotten Son so that we would be saved and redeemed. Satan no longer has dominion over us. We need to remember this often. In the Bible, there are many memorials about what God has done for his people. Biblical memorials were set up to avoid forgetting what God had done. They are reminders so people won't forget. Passover was a reminder to God's people of the last plague in Egypt, which took the firstborn of every family who did not have the blood applied to the doorpost of their home. This memorial was not meant to remind them of death, but of life and mercy. This is cited in Exodus 12:14. God provided life when death was imminent. He was merciful to those who believed and obeyed. Yet, of all memorials ever established, there is one which stands head and shoulders above all others. That is the memorial of communion. In Luke 22, verses 14 through 20, reading out of the Message translation. When it was time, Jesus sat down, all the apostles with him, and said, "You've no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it and said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Eat it in memory of me. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you. Although his disciples had little understanding of what Jesus was instituting that night, it has since become a memorial, as he said it would. The Apostle Paul memorialized the Lord's Supper in his first letter to the Corinthians. It instructed them to continue this tradition as a reminder of God's love and mercy. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. By the Holy Spirit, Paul received instruction to pass on to God's people the importance of instituting a memorial for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. In every memorial, something is established to put people in remembrance of certain facts. In communion, the actual bread and wine or juice have no real power in and of themselves. Yet, because of what they represent, they have great power for us, the believers. The bread represents healing for the outward man. Jesus said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Isaiah prophesied regarding the sacrificial offering of the common Messiah when he said, And by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. Likewise, the cup represents forgiveness for the inward man. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Paul said, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. 1 Corinthians 11:26. The key words here are as often. In other words, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, was not given instruction as to a particular day of the year or month or even a certain day of the week. He simply said, as often as you do this, meaning whenever it is you take communion, remember there is a purpose. Communion can become a tradition which we partake of, forgetting the real power of its memorial. So Paul said, as often as you do this, make sure you remember why you do it. It's not only about remembering that the bread represents Jesus' body and the cup represents Jesus' blood. Communion is about remembering why the bread and cup were given. They each represent, respectively, remind us of the life we have now been given in Christ Jesus. They are true memorials, especially the most precious of all memorials. And they are to be taken as often as we'd like in remembrance of him. As we prepare to remember the Lord, after Bonnie speaks, we will come forward and take the elements. As we direct you, just wait until everyone has his elements, and then we shall partake together. Now I'll pass it on to Bonnie so she can wake most of you up.
I just want to say a few things. Now, get real. When can a woman ever say a few things? Okay. First, I want to say this. Christ's sacrifice is sufficient to eradicate all of our guilt, shame, and judgment, allowing everyone who receives him by faith to enjoy eternity with him. Christ's blood allows us to seek forgiveness and restoration of fellowship with God through the cleansing power of his blood. Christ's blood frees us from any stain, shame, and disgrace that people may try to attach to us. I read a note in one of my Bibles that it said, one drop of Jesus' blood is sufficient to eradicate sin from right now all the way back to Adam. Oh, one drop. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Communion is an expression of our obedience to the Lord's command, do this in remembrance of me. Communion is a reminder of how we are proclaiming that salvation is by Christ's blood alone and not any result of anything we work. Communion allows us to draw closer to other believers through a greater appreciation of the love of Christ and the depth of his sacrifice. Communion allows us to come to God in full contrition and fear of God without shame. Thank you, God. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, The cup of blessing of wine at the Lord's Supper, upon which we ask God's blessing, does it not mean that in drinking it, we participate in and share a fellowship, a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, does it not mean that in eating it, we participate in and share a fellowship, a communion in the body of Christ? Now, what y'all want you to notice is that first three words, the cup of blessing. There is a blessing you are going to encounter by taking communion. A transaction transpires in the realm of the Spirit when we take communion with faith. Jesus is saying, remember, I'm your Savior. Remember, I'm your healer. Believe and receive your healing. A pastor always teaches that, believe and receive your healing. John Hagee's mom said this, in reverence though, she said this about the Lord's Supper. She said, it's the meal that heals. And he was saying this on TV the other day, that no matter how bad she was, I don't know, maybe she had trouble with her legs, I don't know, but no matter how bad she felt, she always made it on communion day, because obviously she had been healed, maybe many times. There should be a spirit of rejoicing accompanying communion. Communion is not an obligation, it's a celebration. Communion celebrates the gospel. Jesus was broken for us so that we can be fixed by him. And let's think about this. Isn't it just like our Jesus giving us a blessing the night before he will be beaten and crucified? He still gave us a blessing. That's our Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life, John 6:48, which means that we're nourished by him, we survive because of him, and he satisfies us when everything else leaves us empty. And I don't know about you, but I've been empty before, and he sure does satisfy me. Hallelujah. He overwhelms me. Hallelujah. So as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Thank you.
Okay, as I mentioned, we'll come forward to take the elements, grape juice and the cracker. And we'd like for you to do it in particular order. We'll go this way, starting over here.
Thank you.
So this section can go first, please. And as we're taking it up, we'll be playing a little bit of music.
Thank you. Give me a second. Bow your heads, please. Thank you again, God. Thank you again for healing. Father, we believe, we receive. We can't do it on our own. You have to do it for us, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Father God. And Father God, we do remember Christ's sacrifice. We do remember it, Lord. Every day, Father God. But thank you for communion, Lord. Thank you for your precious people that came out today, Father God, who love you and want to serve you, Father. Thank you again. Bless them and keep them. As your word says, Father God, I love that scripture, Father, that says, you shall preserve your righteous ones, their goings out and their comings back in. Forever, your word says. It says forever. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we thank you again, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.